473 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Justice League Spotlight episode. We're going to be talking about Justice League number 6 from the creative team of writer Scott Snyder. We've got Jorge Jimenez on the art with colors by Alejandro Sanchez. So this is continuing the totality story that started in Justice League 1. We saw last issue, Superman and Martian Manhunter were kind of taken over by Joker and Lex Luthor. And the Justice League was kind of scattered around the globe. We had Cyborg and John Stewart confronted by Sinestro and the Ultraviolet Corps that Sinestro is recruiting. He's basically pulling all kinds of Earthlings into his core, and we saw Cyborg and John Stewart retreat to the Hall of Justice. Meanwhile, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, and Flash were defeated by Gorilla Grodd, Cheetah, and Manta at the bottom of the ocean in some kind of Atlantean outpost. And so that's kind of where this issue picks up. We see Sinestro with his core attacking the Hall of Justice. Cyborg has erected a shield to try to protect them and also to prevent the ultraviolet energy from getting to John Stewart, who had previously been kind of possessed by it, if you will. The ultraviolet lanterns, it seems, it's all about the energy coming from the evil living galaxy and planet Umbrax. You don't join the core, so to speak, that, you know, you don't control the ring. The ring controls you. So while that's going on inside the totality, we see the actual totality itself, the piece of it that came from the source wall, and that apparently is what Luthor has wanted all along. And as he heads toward it in his little ship inside Superman that he's piloting, that's controlling Superman, Batman shows back up. And Luthor's very surprised, like, "Batman, I thought you were eaten by Superman's cells. I saw you." And Batman tells Luthor, "Kryptonite ring. Luthor, mutated or not, it's still Superman's DNA." And Luthor's response is, "You brought kryptonite inside Superman? With friends like you, who needs enemies?" And so they begin to fight. It's a pretty epic fight. Luthor's taunting him about not being able to figure things out, not really understand what's going on. And Luthor actually asks him at one point, "You know, what's the difference? You know what the difference is between you and me?" And Batman punches him and says, "Yeah, I have teeth." So meanwhile, Luthor drops the doorknob and Batman's trying to retrieve it. Luthor tackles him. So there's definitely a fight for control of the doorknob. Meanwhile, at the underwater Legionnaires base, Grodd with the infant turtle strapped to him has basically infected Flash with the still force, and he's not able to move as Grodd makes his retreat. Grodd talks about the fact that, yeah, you know, keep fighting against the still force. Maybe you might reach the door in a century or two. And he leaves. Meanwhile, we see Manta and Cheetah in kind of, I don't know if it's like a museum or a weapons chamber or something, but there's a couple of artifacts there. And Manta says that the artifacts are the key to the graveyard of the gods. And there's also a tier of extinction. And Manta's a little frustrated. And Cheetah's surprised. She's like, "Don't be upset, Manta. You know, we're not plundering. This is mythology. Every Achilles has a heel, even the universe. And, you know, there's 7 energies that have governed the universe, and now as the universe dies, we're going to start up 7 counter energies to remake it. Let's get what we came for." And she grabs the key, and Manta grabs the tear of extinction, And she just like, I don't understand why you're angry. We now have the means to crush our enemies. And Manta just says, I'm upset because you and I, we didn't get to go first. You know, they're kind of playing second fiddle to Luthor and the Joker. So I wonder if that'll come back into to play or not. Meanwhile, Luthor asks for help from the Joker, who's piloting the ship inside Martian Manhunter. He's asking for some help. And he pilots Martian Manhunter over. He uses the powers to kind of shape change his fingers into these little tiny tendrils. It's pretty gross, actually. And he slips inside behind Superman's eyeballs with the little tentacles to attack Batman. And Batman's screaming for Hawkgirl to help. And Joker's like, she's knocked out, man. I'll get to her later. The punchline will be me chopping off her feathered little head. But unbeknownst to Joker, Hawkgirl has actually regained consciousness. She says, I got your punchline right here. And crack, knocks him out. And takes control of the little craft again and says, something's happened to my wings, Batman. I'm not really sure. And Batman's response is, it must be Martian Manhunter's body reacting to the totality. The totality did call him the first abomination. And it must have something to do with the visions John was having. And Hawkgirl's like, all right, I'm going to try to free your mind. But you got to get that thing before Luthor does. And again, they're fighting for the control of the doorknob. And Batman sees himself. He has a flicker of hope, you know. He's like, Luthor's wrong about this. This object of power is so close. All I got to do is grab it. I'll win. Banish Joker. Banish Luthor. John's going to recover. We'll get the totality and it'll be over. But that's not what actually happens. Luthor gets the doorknob first. He gets to the artifact of power. And he even tells Batman, do you feel that? The power in my hand? That's just a fraction of what I'll soon have. As he heads toward the totality. And Hawkgirl's still yelling at John Jones to wake up. So Batman screams in pain. And Luthor he punches the crap out of him. With all the strength and all the power of that artifact, that doorknob in his hand, we see many of Batman's bones break. It's pretty brutal, and then Luthor transports them to the Hall of Justice, telling them you can go now. And Batman's got two broken arms, two broken legs. He's in very bad shape, and. Cyborg asks, you know, what happened? So John's explaining. He's like, John Stewart, Luthor, he beat us. Where's Kendra? We don't know. Cyborg's saying, I'll look for her signature. Flash, are you there? Flash says, we failed too. The Steel Force is too strong. Speed Force can't fight it. We're abandoning the base and coming home if you can boom tube us there. And Cyborg's like, I wish I could, but I can't because... I'm focusing everything that I can to boost the shields to prevent the ultraviolet power from getting into the Hall of Justice. And Cyborg's like, I don't know how much longer I can protect us from Sinestro. And John's like, yeah, it's my fault. If I hadn't held back about the invisible spectrum, about what I knew, John says, no, I've got to take the blame as the league's chairman. I had my doubts and I had visions, but I didn't share them with you. And Flash is like, well, I'm the one that opened the door because I didn't want to admit the Speed Force might hide darker truths. And Aquaman, I wouldn't expect necessarily Aquaman to be the voice of reason, but he is here. He says, look, we all made mistakes, but we need to fight this. And John Stewart's like, how? Umbrax's energy is saturating the Earth. I can feel it. And he says, I might be one of them right now if Cyborg wasn't blocking me. And Cyborg's like, dude, I'm not blocking you. I'm using every ounce of my power to power the shields, like you're controlling it yourself. And John's like, that doesn't make sense. And then starts to look inside himself, says, yeah, you know what? I can feel it. Ever since I told you about Zanshi, which is the planet he destroyed in the Mosaic series, it's like, what if these ancient forces being unlocked, the Steel Force, the invisible spectrum, what if we're not supposed to fight them? And it sparks an idea. And John says, yeah, You're saying we need to stop battling these powers and use them, let them in. John's like, I can connect to enough people and break Sinestro's hold. And John's like, yeah, and I can show them how to use the light of the invisible spectrum by turning to strength. Like I can light the path. But his question is, but how does he get around the whole planet fast enough to connect to everybody? And Flash's response is, no, John, the question is, can you drive stick? So meanwhile, in the Legion of Doom headquarters, the Joker is there. He says he feels his joke landing. The crowd, the whole universe is getting ready to laugh. Joker's about to take a bow. And we see a picture of the Earth being consumed by the evil universe of Umbrax. And we see Batman being put into one of the healing chambers by Superman. And John Stewart says, I've got to get out of here, Sinestro. I've got to get out of here first. But Sinestro has the whole hell surrounded. And Superman says, I can help with that. Meanwhile, Wonder Woman is telling Barry to be careful. He's hurt. And she doesn't know if his body can still access the still force. And Barry says, I can do this. I open the door. I'm going to close it. Just one thing, John. You scratch her and I'll kill you. And we see Superman literally throw Flash's vehicle that we saw him building, I think, in the first or second issue. And it says, the plan is set in motion, a plan that goes against every instinct these heroes have taught themselves. All light goes into the dark. The fastest man slows down. And the Martian prepares to connect to nearly all of humanity. And not just to each other, but to himself. He's going to show them the worst of him. Instead of strength, he's going to show them weakness in themselves, in him, in the heroes, in everything. He can only think of one other moment in his life he was so terrified, which obviously was when Mars was destroyed. Cyborg says, standing by, John, but you need to push harder. Use your emotions as fuel. And John Stewart says, I will not hide. I will not cower. By the shield of day and the shield of night. So it's interesting. I don't know if we were starting to get a new, like, creed, invisible spectrum creed, but we only got a piece of it there. And as John leaves the vicinity of the Hall of Justice, Sinestro says, after them, the Kryptonian is still weakened and the lantern is nearly ours. And Superman yells at John to keep going. Meanwhile, something's happening inside. Manta says Cheetah, and Manta says not for long as he begins shooting at the underground Atlantean base. And Aquaman says the water pressure in this place can't withstand another hit. And Diana, Wonder Woman's response is, Flash, you need to slow down a lot faster. So we see John racing around the planet. John Stewart, that is. John Jones, meanwhile, has sent out a scream as desperate as Vandal Savage's, a cry to everyone lost in the grip of the darkness of the Umbrax universe. And he's pleading with everybody, look at the light of the lantern before you. Look, because it shows the truth. And the truth is that Luther was right. The nature of man can be cruel and small and full of fear at all the things that they don't understand, but you also have to acknowledge that they're all in it together. They're all the same, and they need to work together, if only for a moment. So we see this great montage page from Jorge Jimenez where Martian Manhunter is kneeling in front of the fellow Martians saying, I'm at fault. We see Flash looking at his mother and many, many other people probably from different time, maybe from the Flashpoint, saying that I see you. And we see John Stewart kneeling in front of the citizens of Zanshi saying, I'm sorry. So with everybody together, if only for a moment, what can happen is humankind can transcend, right? It can climb higher than you're supposed to on their own, perhaps to someplace new. And as they do this, as they come together, we see that the artifact, the doorknob that Luther is holding, instead of being that reddish-orange color, starts to glow blue. And Luther's like, blue, what the? And then we see Hawkgirl attack him. Meanwhile, someplace surprising and a little more just is the place where, if everyone comes together, that's where they can go. And as John Stewart keeps racing around the earth, he says, something's not right, though. The light, it's not green. It's my God. And the scene shifts back to the Joker at the Legion of Doom headquarters. And it, just as he was about to take his bow, right, just as the joke was about to land, his rage grows because he realized that somebody came after him and told a better joke. And the Joker can't help but appreciate the craft of the display. After all, he thinks sometimes you slay, sometimes you bomb, and that's life, right? And we see that's life on the final page. It's a splash page. And we see remnants of the tentacles, the dark power of Umbrax that were surrounding the world. We see remnants breaking away and falling away from Earth. And superimposed over the Earth, which is now glowing with a very white light, is the symbol of life. It is the white lantern symbol. And at the bottom, we get the blurb for next issue. Next, fight planet with planet. So I thought this was a really great issue. I thought it was an interesting way that Snyder decided to flip everything on its head, right? Like the entire Justice League has been fighting against this power that Luthor has been amassing these and using, right? His Legion of Doom has been using these seven new forces, and the Justice League has been fighting pretty desperately against these new forces and pretty ineffectually, actually. And so I love the fact that the way they figured out, it's almost like if you can't beat him, join him, right? Like, hey, if Luthor and those villains are able to harness this power, why not us, right? Why can't we find a way to use it? And so that's exactly what they've done. John Stewart used the power of the ultraviolet spectrum to, kind of create a connection that John Stewart was then able, or that John Jones, rather, Martian Manhunter, was then able to use to bring everyone together, to remind them what it means to be human, what it means to be, to have all these terrible things, right? To be selfish and to be egocentric and to be cruel and to be imperfect. But there's something to be said for working together. And that's what the Justice League is all about, right? It's about all these heroes that have great powers can become even more powerful by working together. And that's what John Stewart is linking up humanity to show them, right? Through Martian Manhunter's powers to remind everybody, hey, we're heroes. We're the Justice League. And even we've made terrible mistakes. You know, John Jones was too afraid, and his race was too afraid to try to be together at the end. Instead, they isolated themselves, and ultimately it was their downfall. John Stewart made a mistake when he was a Green Lantern and wielded the most powerful weapon in the universe, and Zanshi was destroyed, and he lives with that guilt, right? Like, even these great heroes have made mistakes. Even these great heroes are fallible. But when you work together, when you're part of something bigger than yourself, you can rise above that, right? You can go to someplace new, maybe someplace you've never even been before. So I like what Scott Snyder is saying here. It's kind of a culmination of what he was talking about before Justice League even started, right? He kept talking about how he wanted to make the Justice League, he wanted to bring the Justice League title and the Justice League team back to being the center of the DC universe, right? Like the Hall of Justice being a place where everybody is welcome and who knows who you might see because everybody's there at one point or another. Even the public, right? There's parts of the Hall of Justice that are open to the public. So, you know, I must have heard Scott say it, you know, a dozen times before issue one came out, like, okay, Hall of Justice, the doors open in June and everybody's invited, right? And that's exactly what this issue is showing us, that only by working together, because everybody's invited, can you overcome these issues? Can you overcome weakness? And can you overcome the things about humanity that are that aren't so great, you know? Like anything that's inherently like weak or I don't want to say evil, but just not for the betterment of humanity, right? Working together, you can accomplish more. You can climb higher. You can go to someplace new. Someplace a little more just, to use the words that he uses in this issue. So the other thing about it, that when you stop to think about it, what has Luther been doing? He's put together his own team, and they're working together too, but it's not the same, because Luther's not opening himself up to his team. He doesn't tell his team, here's the plan, here's what we're going to do. You know, he only tells them what they need to know, because at the end of the day, it's all about Luther. He's a very singular character. He's a very egocentric and self-centered character. He's all about Luther. Luther is all about Luther, and maybe if he could have worked more closely together with his team, the Justice League wouldn't have been able to kind of snatch a victory from the jaws of defeat. That's just a tiny little victory, right? I mean, Luther still has the artifact. He's still right there at the doorstep of the piece of totality that is on Earth. He's still in control of Superman. The Flash is still in the grips of the Steel Force. His powers aren't back. And Umbrax is still right there, right? I mean, obviously the Earth has a fighting chance now, but what's going to happen next? I mean, we just don't know. But this was a very tightly paced issue. A lot happened. I mean, Batman got jacked up too. I have to mention that to Scott next time I see him, because we did get a sneak peek of this issue at San Diego Comic-Con. And what's interesting about it, we saw the Batman-Luther fight, which was cool, and Scott dropped some hints, but man, he didn't touch on any of the big ideas. You know, he's like, oh, I'm going to spoil six, blah, blah, blah. No, man, he didn't spoil anything. He didn't spoil any of the big beats of this story, which is fine. You know, I wanted to read it and enjoy it for myself, and I totally did. But it's just funny the way he talks about, yeah, I'm giving this whole thing away. No, not at all. Not at all. And again, the fight's not over, but I love how much this issue kind of epitomizes for me what the Justice League is for Scott Snyder. You know, it's like, you know, again, that line, like Hall of Justice, doors open in June, everybody's welcome. It wasn't just the Justice League. Like, if it was just the Justice League, if it was just the heroes, they showed that they could not have won. They could not have beat Luther. They could have not have stopped the Legion of Doom's plans with just them. They had to go out and recruit every other person on the planet to fight off Umbrax and this evil universe, right? And it was successful, and that's why we see the symbol of the White Lanterns, the white light of life there. And I can't wait to see planet versus planet, how that's gonna go. So again, I mean, there's a lot of the heroes are still in bad shape. Batman, especially. I mean, his bones look like they were just. I mean, he looked like a rag doll. You know, his legs and arms were going in angles that you just don't even wanna. Yeah, gross. So he's in bad shape. Superman, you know, I think Luther is still inside him. I'm not 100% sure on that, but we didn't see him leave. I mean, obviously the Joker's not inside Martian Manhunter anymore, but there's still a lot of stuff going on. Still many things, many loose ends to be tied up. But I imagine we're going to see Jon Stewart as an ultraviolet lantern going forward and get a new creed. That'll be cool. We kind of got the first couple lines of it here, so looking forward to that. As far as the art, it's top notch from Jorge Jimenez and Alejandro Sanchez, especially as I'm telling you guys about this issue. I'm just looking at the montage piece that he did, where Jon Stewart's circling the globe. We've got Martian Manhunter connecting everybody, and we've got the scene with him kneeling in front of the Martians. We've got Flash sitting in front of his mom and others. We've got Jon Stewart kneeling in front of the people of Zanshi saying he's sorry. We've got Hawkgirl attacking Luther. It's an incredible double page spread. It's awesome. And the final scene, like, you know, Stewart says on the next to last page, something's not right, though. The light, it's not green. It's my God. And I was wondering, I was like, well, what color would it be? You know, I'm like, so he's not turning green. Maybe it's like, I just wasn't sure. Like, I was thinking like gold or something. Like, I wasn't even, and I'm like, okay, let's just turn the page and find out. Right. And yeah, it's life. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. It's just great to see, you know, that picture of the entire globe there with the white symbol, the white lantern symbol. It's just incredible. So as I said, a very tightly paced issue, very well-drawn issue. The colors by Alejandro Sanchez are top-notch as well. A lot of purple, a lot of red in this issue, which makes a lot of sense considering what's going on. So I almost want to say it's a relatively quick read, just because it feels like that, because it's like nonstop action. There's plenty of story here, plenty of word balloons and dialogue and everything, but it seems to be over quicker than you realize, because the action's nonstop. And plus, when it's over, you're like, oh, you immediately want the next one because you want to see what's going to happen, right? Which is, for me, always a sign of a really, really great comic. So, and I should also mention the splash page of the Joker is pretty creepy. It's, yeah, Jorge Jimenez outdid himself on that for sure. And also the variant cover is by Jim Lee, and it's Jon Stewart with this awesome looking, almost like War Machine backpack thing on, where he's got, missiles and guns and all kinds of great stuff. So love the issue. Really feel like the story and the series that Snyder is telling, it's not, again, quite as big, quite as magnified in importance as I thought it was going to be, based on just how huge the first issue felt. Right. The first issue just felt like massive. Like, I think at the time I called it the most important issue or biggest story in the DC universe since Crisis. It hasn't really turned out that way. It's not as much of a game changer as I thought it would be based on the first issue, but that's not to say that there aren't going to be a lot of ramifications from this story and a lot of changes, and just, it's just a great, fun story. And you know, it's the Legion of Doom, so all you comic readers out there and comic fans, especially of DC, who are of a certain age, like I am, you know, you fondly remember those Super Friends cartoons. I mean, for me, that's a big reason that I got into reading comics, and a big part of the reason that I picked the comics I did when I finally did say, I'm gonna start collecting comics, you know, went out to the spinner rack and you kind of buy what you know. And the first comic I ever bought was a Super Friends comic. So that had everything to do with me loving the cartoon. So, you know, those Challenge of the Super Friends with Super Friends and Legion of Doom are classic. And I love the fact that we have a Legion of Doom in continuity once again. So issue 6, great. Kudos to the entire creative team. You guys did an amazing job. And I can't wait for issue 7. So once again, I want to thank everybody for joining us. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help us with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, be sure to check out all our other coverage of pop culture, upcoming movies, and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is comicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/comicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.